The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Really, since Easter, or the celebration before Easter, and we've been walking through the book of Acts, talking about the general theme of the church continuing to be the church and live in the kind of world in which we live. Last week we looked at chapter 16 of the book of Acts, which we saw three people that were converted. One who was open to receive the word of God, very tender-hearted, then one who was tormented by the demons, set free, and then an old toughened heart of someone who had seen a lot of hardships and run to prison, that God could reach into the hearts and lives of any and could change them. As we move through that story, though, of missionary journeys, we find that Paul ended up in Thessalonica, and there he was persecuted for preaching the gospel of Christ, and there was a great opposition began to rise from him. He went to Berea then, and there was an amazing statement to sit around Berea. I visited with Clarence a few minutes, and he pointed out this verse of scripture to me this week, and we're not going to dwell on a lot of this, but I think it's important that we note it, because I'm fixing to move out of the book of Acts, and we're going to start talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas as we worship over the next few weeks. But in verse 11, when he came into Berea, it said there that the brethren listened. He said, and these people were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. And he gives three reasons why. They were noble-minded because they had received the word with great eagerness. That is, they were ready to hear what God had to say. The second thing is they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. Now, it has been my heart all my life to be true to the word of God and that everything I say to be true to God's word. And I openly say to you, search the scriptures and see if what I'm preaching to you is not the truth. Okay? Because that's what I want, and that's what the heart of every preacher ought to be. What is God's word and what is really true? You know, to examine that. The noble-minded received the word with eagerness. They examined the scripture to see if those things were true. And then, as a result of that, they believed. And that is, they trusted those words, and a number of the prominent people came to know the Lord as a result of that. Paul left Berea. He immediately came down then into Athens, and in Athens is where the great philosophers of the Greek world met, and they had statues of all different kinds of gods, and they even had one to the unknown God. And Paul couldn't contain himself anymore. And so one day as he was walking through there and gathered with all of these philosophers, he turned to them in Acts 17:22. He said, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all aspects. And while I'm passing through examining the object of your worship, I found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I proclaim to you, that the God who made this world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations. That ought to speak to the racism in our world today. All of us are created from one man, and we are one, no matter what color our skin is. And he said he created them and appointed them in verse 27 so that they would seek God. If perhaps they might feel for him and find him, though he really is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. And even as some of our own poets have said, we are all his children. And being the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed in the art and the heart of man. But therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness through the man, that is Jesus, through whom he is appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, I read that passage of Scripture, and I was thinking about the Thanksgiving theme, and one of the greatest psalms that there, you know, about Thanksgiving is Psalm 136. And I saw so many parallels between the sermon Paul preached at Athens and what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 136. In Psalm 136, he begins that psalm by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." If you have a King James, it says, "For his mercy endures forever." Then he continues that story. I'm not going to read all the response to every verse, but he goes through, it says in verse 2, "Give thanks to the God of God." Verse 3, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords." In verse 4, "Give thanks to him who does great wonders." And then he created the heavens. He spread out the earth over the waters. He made the great lights. He made the stars. He made the sun to rule by day and the stars by night. Then in verse 10, he talks about his redemptive works. He said he smote the Egyptians. He brought you out of Israel, out of their midst. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, he delivered you by causing the Red Sea to asunder. You know, he overthrew Pharaoh, and he overthrew the other kings, which he talks about, the mighty kings. And he gave you a land for an inheritance and a heritage to Israel in verse 22. And then 23, he said, "Who remembered us in our low estate, and he rescued us from our adversaries, and who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heavens, for his mercy endures forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. His love is eternal." Father, we ask that you would open our minds and hearts today to see you, and to create inside of us and in our hearts that spirit of thanksgiving, that we truly be thankful for all that you've done and all that you are. In Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes there and says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Our God has indeed blessed us. And he blessed us because he's blessed. We're commanded throughout Scripture to bless God. Now, you know, and so when God is everything, when in the very essence of God, he is all things, and everything we have comes from him, the question is, how do you bless God? When God is blessed, how do we bless God? Well, you know, the Scripture over and over talks about the only way we can really bless God, I think, is to affirm his blessedness. Just to affirm the fact that he is who he is, and to affirm what he has done for us, and to accept his word, as the people of Berea did, be honorable men, to receive his word with eagerness, to examine it to see if it's true, and to believe him, to respond to him. And as a result, then God is blessed because he is, you know, has received what he has chosen to receive. It said that he created, and Paul talking about in Acts 17, he created all people, you know, and every nation from one man. Why did he create them? So that they would seek him. And so when we affirm God's blessing and recognize who he is and recognize what he's done, then ultimately God is pleased with that, because we're seeking him and we're acknowledging him basically for who he is. Now, as the psalmist writes here in Psalm 136, we can thank God for his character. He starts off by giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good. It's good. I'm grateful we have a good God. You know? Verse 2 and 3 of that psalm says that he's the God of gods and he's the Lord of lords. You know what that ultimately means to me? That God could be anything he wanted to be. God was good. But he was good because that's what he chose to be. So he was the Lord of lords. He was the King of kings. He could have been any kind of God he wanted to be. But he is sovereign Lord, and God chose to be good. And his goodness is affirmed again and again and again over Scripture. Now, sometimes we may not understand that goodness. We have people that live in our world today will say, if God is so good, why does this thing happen? Why does that bad thing happen? Why does this go on and all of that? Well, in one sermon, there's no way to even touch on a lot of those things. We just simply have to do like the men of Berea did. We receive the truth from God's word with eagerness, and we examine it to see if it's true. And in the bottom line, when you look around at the final analysis, knowing that we may not understand all that God is doing, but we know that he is working and that Romans 8:28 said he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. And he didn't ever say that everything that happens in this world is good. And everything that happens in this world is not good because we have sinned, not because God changed, and it's not because God desired it that way. God was good. And when we sinned against God, the consequences of that sin brought the evil and suffering and heartaches and other things into the world. But our God even acted to deal with that. He sent his son to deal with sin, and he took care of the sin problem, and he forgives us and cleanses us, and he one day, according to Paul's sermon there in Acts, he's going to bring this world to its final judgment through Jesus Christ. And he's going to set all things right. He's going to judge in righteousness. Folks, we may not have the answers to all this happening in the world today, but we can be assured of the very fact that one day God's going to set it right. Why? Because he's good. He is a good God. We can affirm his goodness over and over again. We might not understand all that happens, but folks, it doesn't change the fact that God in his character is a good God. I personally am grateful our God's a good God. He could have been anything he wanted to be, but, you know, he was sovereign. Now, that was a concept in the New Testament world that people didn't understand. That was, you know, God being a good God is alien to all the other religions of the world. I don't know of another religion in the world that recognizes their God is always good. You know, in the ancient Greek mythology, if you read some of those stories about those gods and the multiple gods in which many of those, the Greek world, the Gentile world, grew up in, you know, you read men like Jupiter, who was the father of all the gods, and he is filled with innumerable evils, always punishing somebody because, you know, he just wanted to. One story told about Pandora's box in Greek mythology. Epiphanus wanted to marry Pandora. And so he was agreed, and he was given Pandora's box as a part of that marriage ceremony. But he's told not to open it. But curiosity finally got the best of him. And so he opened Pandora's box, and that released all the diseases and evils and everything else on the world. And ultimately, it's because his gods had set him up to be able to provide evil unto man. You know, now that if you read all the stories of Greek mythology, you find that's what the world believed. Their gods were evil. Their gods was just flippant. Their gods could change their mind from one day to the next. But look at the modern day world gods. Examine the world today. The God of Islam, the Muslim religion in our world. Well, the highest honor that you can receive in the Islam religion is to die in war on behalf of your God. Because you don't necessarily have to be a just cause. It's just because Allah said to. You know, look at the Hindus, the Buddhists, the others. In those countries, you literally have people starving to death. Some of the poorest people in the world are living in those countries. And yet there's an abundance of cattle walking up and down the streets, often in and out of their houses, because somehow they believe that if they kill those animals, they might have destroyed one of their previous ancestors. There's something strange about those kind of beliefs. I'm personally glad I don't have to honor those kind of gods. That our God is a good God who always acts on our behalf, and his desire is always the best for us. And we can thank God for his character, but not only his character, but his conduct. This psalmist thanks God, first of all, for this creative context. He created everything. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the light. You know, in Acts 17, Paul basically says, he made the worlds and all the things that is in it, since he's the Lord of heaven and earth. And he doesn't dwell in the temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, though he needed anything. But it's he who has given all peoples life and breath and all things. And he's made every nation out of one man. God is the great God of creation. He is the God who has created all things. Our beautiful world was created by our good God. We can thank him for his conduct. But then we can thank him for his redemptive conduct. If you read that Psalm 136, you find that he's reviewing the history of Israel and how God acted in order to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. He divided the Red Sea. He brought them into the wilderness. He destroyed the kings that were opposed to them. And he gave them the land of Canaan as an inheritance. You know, and all of that is a type or a symbol of what God did for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. See, God sent his Son into the world to deliver us from the bondage of sin and the price of that sin, and to set us free and destroy the enemies around us. And folks, he hasn't just given us a physical land for inheritance, but he's given us an inheritance that we're going to share with him as joint heirs with Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity in the heavens. The redemptive activity God has provided for your salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has provided forgiveness of your sins. That's the reason Paul could say in Acts 17, as he preached, that God now commands repentance. It's time to repent, and he's going to judge the world through Jesus Christ. And what you do with Jesus Christ will determine our inheritance through eternity. But God has provided what we need in order to be saved. We thank God for his redemptive activity and his conduct in saving us. And then we can thank God for his compassion, not only his character and his conduct, but his compassion. The psalmist said he remembered us in our low estate. Acts 17, Paul there is saying, everything we have, we've got from God. It all comes from him. He has it said in verse 28, in him we live and move and exist. We have our beings. And God has been so compassionate to us that in the past he has overlooked our ignorance. Our ignorance in rejecting him. Our ignorance of not trusting him. That God has acted in such a way that he has shown compassion upon us and patience. You know, why is it that people are always wondering? We talk about Thanksgiving, God is so good, and people say, you know, who don't believe in him, they'll say, well, what about this? Why is this person suffering? Why does all these things happen in the world? Why doesn't God deal with sin? Peter tells us why clearly in the scripture God doesn't deal with it right now. For God is a long-suffering. He is a patient God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, our God is a compassionate God who shows patience with us because he desires that we all come to the place to trust him, that more people will be saved. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, he's been patient with you over and over again. And there comes a time when you need to repent. Now is the time to repent. God, because there will come a day when he's no longer going to overlook our ignorance. And he's no longer going to be patient with us. But he's going to judge the world through his son Jesus. And it's time that we come to that place to trust him and surrender to him. And we can have fellowship with him and think about it. I remember, and I probably shared this story before, I'm sure I have. God is a compassionate God, and he loves us, and he cares about us, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And H.G. Wells, in one of his books, tells a story of a man who was at the point of nervous breakdown. He was strained. His mind was just at the point of breaking. And he finally went to the doctor and shared with him all the things that was happening in his life. And the doctor looked at him and said, I don't know what to do for you except to pray that you'll find the peace that comes from fellowship with God. And the man reacted. And he said, to think of that up there as having fellowship with me? I would as soon of thinking of cooling my throat with a Milky Way or shaking hands with the stars. Because God to him was completely unfindable. He would never believe that God was available to strengthen and to fellowship. You know, I've shared with people a couple of times this week this very same truth. They're struggling with decisions, struggling with problems, struggling with things they don't have the answers to. And I have literally said to them, folks, the only way is your fellowship with God. And you need to be around God's people because you can draw strength from them, people who are struggling to know God and to fellowship with God. Our God loves us. He has compassion upon us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And you think about that, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the God who created everything in this world, from whom we have everything, who has given us life, who has given us meaning, who has given everything in which we have. This is the God who says, I loved you enough to send Jesus to take care of all your sin problems and all the things that are going on. And I want to have a relationship with you. I created you so that you would seek me and know me. That's the God who calls out and says, come to me and I'll forgive. Come to me and I'll save. And I'll have a relationship with you. Folks, I tell you, we can face anything that we have to face in this world because our God is a good God. We can thank God because he's good. And his mercy or his love is everlasting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you are the God of gods. We thank you for being who you are. We're thankful that you're good. We're thankful for your conduct and how you have, from the beginning of the world, and from the very time we rebelled against you, even before you created us, you had made a plan whereby we could be forgiven and saved and restored to have a relationship with you. We're grateful that you have guided the nations and you finally brought our world to the place at the fullness of time you could send your son into the world. And we're grateful for what you've done in that redeeming us and saving us. And Father, we're grateful that you're a patient and loving God who continually reaches out to us. We thank you. We thank you. Because we know your love indeed is eternal and it's never going to change. And so we pray that out of the presence of your Spirit, which is here this morning, you'll draw us to the place that we'll commit ourselves to you. If there's one here without you as Savior, we pray that they'll come today. Christians who are living in doubt and hesitation, we pray, Father, that they will come today and renew their relationship and fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, we ask it. As we stand together and as we sing, if there's a decision you need to make today, understand that God, a good God, is calling you to say, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll redeem you, I want to live in relationship with you. Will you come?
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.